This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support. You may not be aware of this, but quietly, under President Trump, the United States has become a net energy exporter. The United States has become also the world's largest producer of oil. Yes, larger than Saudi Arabia, larger than Venezuela, of course, larger than Kuwait or Iraq or Iran or anybody. The U.S. is the largest oil producer in the world, and we're producing so much oil and energy that we're now exporting more energy than we are importing. That has only happened under President Trump because Trump is pro-energy. Now, Obama, the Obama administration was the enemy of energy. Obama tried to destroy fossil fuels. He tried to destroy coal. He tried to put coal-fired power plants out of business. And this was part of his plan to disrupt and destroy the U.S. economy. And it was very successful for 8 years. You know, for some of that time, we had sky-high fuel prices. We had economic contraction. We had limitations on oil exploration that were intentionally designed to limit America's oil production and thereby create dependence on foreign nations, many of which are enemies of the United States. In other words, Obama created a situation where America could be held hostage by the rest of the world. That's a horrific situation that puts in place bad consequences of international diplomacy and makes America weaker on the international stage. That was the whole point. At the same time Obama was doing this, he funneled tens of billions of dollars in cash and gold to Iran, America's enemy and the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And this was done in order to allow Iran to build nuclear weapons. Obama also oversaw the approval of the funneling of America's uranium ore through Canada to Russia for enrichment and then ultimately delivery to Iran so that Iran could build ballistic missile, you know, nuclear warhead-tipped delivery systems, which is exactly what's going on. And by the way, this was all approved by Robert Mueller, who was head of the FBI at the time, and Hillary Clinton. In fact, Robert Mueller actually hand-delivered a sample of uranium to the Russians. A lot of people don't know that. He was actually a uranium mule for the Obama administration. Now, those are all facts that are simply not reported in the media, but they're all true. And this is why I've been banned on YouTube for almost a year now, because, of course, I tell you the truth about what's happening in the world. But why this matters is crucial to understand. President Trump has allowed America to regain its energy independence, which means that America can take a more aggressive stance in terms of international diplomacy without fear of being held hostage by nations that might withhold oil sales to the United States. Because if you lack oil energy in your nation, your economy is absolutely crippled. Your economy can be destroyed by an oil embargo, for example. And, you know, you're seeing this. You've seen it in places like North Korea or even Venezuela or Cuba from time to time. When there are international embargoes on energy to nations, it's devastating to that nation. Well, Trump did not want America to be held hostage by the rest of the world, so he allowed for more oil exploration, and that has resulted in an abundance of oil energy in the United States, which has very important strategic advantages. Now, the environmental impact of this, of course, the environmentalists, who, let's face it, they're all fake anyway. They don't talk about GMOs, genetic pollution, and they all think carbon dioxide is a pollutant when it's actually the number one most important nutrient for greening the earth. It's the top nutrient needed by plants to grow carbon dioxide. But the environmentalists have declared war on carbon dioxide, which is a joke. So the environmentalists are a joke at this point. And they say oil is bad. And the reason they say oil is bad primarily, think about it, is because they say that it produces CO2. Well, wait a second. CO2 is the nutrient for plants. CO2 is the life for regreening the earth. CO2, I mean, let's get back to some basic science here. Fossil fuels are all hydrocarbons. Now, the hydro in hydrocarbon stands for hydrogen, not water. Hydrogen. Now, hydrocarbons are made out of only two elements. That's hydrogen and carbon. Hence the name, hydrocarbons, right? So, H is hydrogen, C is carbon. Now, if you burn hydrocarbons, what you're doing is you're, in essence, rapidly oxidizing them. You're combining them with oxygen for combustion. So if you combine oxygen, which is O, with hydrocarbons, HC, what do you get? Well, now you have a mixture of H, C, and O. And the hydrogen is not needed in this molecule, but if you combine carbon with two oxygens, you get, of course, carbon dioxide, CO2, the number one most important nutrient for plants. So in truth, burning hydrocarbons releases the molecules that forests, including rainforests and food crops and grasslands, that they all need to grow and flourish. So burning fossil fuels, believe it or not, actually creates the CO2 that the Earth needs to be more green. And those fossil fuels are trapping carbon and hydrogen underground. A lot of carbon trapped under there. That carbon, if it were made available to plants, would cause plant growth to rapidly accelerate. It would cause food production to go up around the world, allowing developing nations, i.e. third world nations, to more efficiently produce food supplies for themselves and become more food independent, which, by the way, supports democracy, you know, supports freedom around the world. So burning fossil fuels, indirectly, it enriches the atmosphere with CO2 that can actually spread self-sufficiency, democracy, and freedom all around the world. It's not a joke. If you connect the dots and you understand this, you understand why drilling for oil and burning oil creates a more abundant and more self-sufficient world. That's why environmentalists hate fossil fuels, because they don't want liberty and freedom. They want global authoritarian tyranny. They want a climate tyranny, a climate dictatorship. So they say that CO2 is bad, and they say that fossil fuels are bad, and they say that producing energy is bad. And what they want is a world where the citizens are all impoverished, where the food supply has collapsed because there's not enough CO2 for food crops to grow much, and where every person in the world is dependent on government assistance to feed themselves, and where people live in mud huts everywhere. No one drives any vehicles. You're all subjected to public transportation on government-controlled transport systems, where they will have a social credit score that denies you access to public transportation if you don't score sufficiently high on this social scoring system like what China has today. It's part of communism. And they will score you based on what you say publicly in social media. Well, they'll read your emails. They will read your search engine queries. They'll access the titles of the books you buy on Amazon.com. And they will create a social credit score. And if you buy ammunition, oh, you get a penalty. If you buy a gun, even if it's legal in the future, you get a penalty. If you say something bad about the Democrats, you get a penalty. The environmentalists want a global authoritarian dictatorship that has total control over the population in the name of saving the planet. So they can't have people with the ability to drive their own cars. They can't have you being able to be mobile, to transport yourself without government permission. They can't have you burning fossil fuels, you see. They can't have food supplies become abundant globally because higher CO2 is released into the atmosphere. The environmentalists, the left-wing authoritarians, they have the same goal, the total enslavement of humanity. And clamping down on fossil fuels is just one way that they can achieve that. They want the global population to live in destitution, to be impoverished, and to be living under starvation and globalist rule. You see how this is all connected? Fossil fuels, because they create so much energy, they, in effect, represent so much work. When you're driving a car, you're actually using fossil fuels to replace horsepower or human power. If you had to ride a bike all those miles, that would take a lot of work. Well, the fossil fuels do the work for you. Same thing with agriculture and farmland. If you had to go plow the fields by hand or with a bull or something, an ox, you know, old style. I saw people doing that in Peru, by the way. That's a lot of work. And if you had to harvest food by hand, have you ever shucked corn by hand? Yeah, that's corn shucking is a hard thing to do. Rips up your hands, by the way. I don't know if you've ever shucked corn. Maybe you're not a corn shucker. But some people have shucked a lot of corn. And it's no walk in the park, believe me. You know, just harvesting strawberries, whatever. It's a lot of labor that goes into that. Or growing wheat, harvesting wheat, or sugar beets. It's all automated. It's all run by machinery. The machines burn fossil fuels because the fossil fuels do the work of, you know, many men, many horses. You know, I have a John Deere tractor, actually more than one, but the one I'm thinking of has, I think it's got like 75 horsepower at the PTO, which is the power takeoff. So that's 75 horses working back there. Why? Because I have diesel fuel. So fossil fuels give me the power of 75 horses at the back of my tractor. That's convenience. That's fossil fuels have created modern civilization. Without them, you wouldn't have food. Food is created by fossil fuels. I mean, think through this, folks. Tractors run on diesel. They don't run on batteries. They don't run on solar. No such thing as a solar powered tractor. Modern society is built on fossil fuels. So that's why if you want society to continue to exist, you need to support fossil fuels until we have, you know, fusion energy or something like that that actually works. And actually, the limiting technology right now is energy density of batteries. If we could store 1,000 times more energy in the same space as a current chemical battery, then lots of things would be possible. You could have battery-powered airplanes, battery-powered long-haul rigs on the highway, battery-powered trains, and battery-powered tractors. But you need about three orders of magnitude more energy density in batteries in order to achieve that. Maybe two orders of magnitude might get you there. That would be 100 times more. But you really need about three for aircraft and so on. And we're not there yet. So we got to burn fossil fuels in the meantime. I just want you to think about these things. And you might think, well, you know, solar is cleaner and wind is cleaner. Well, have you ever thought about all the rare earth elements that are used to build solar panels and where those come from? Filthy, dirty mines in China with essentially slave labor. So maybe you haven't thought through it as much as you think. Even batteries, today's batteries have to use lead, typically. So think about it. Anyway, read more on my website, power.news or naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Be well. Thank you for watching. If you want to support our mission, visit us at healthrangerstore.com for the world's largest selection of lab-verified superfood and nutritional products for healthy living. It's at healthrangerstore.com.